The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, President Mahama congratulates Black Stars for display of dexterity despite elimination from World Cup tournament. 23rd Ordinary Summit of AU opens in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, with election of President Mahama as Chair of African Trade Committee. Metropolitan Archbishop of Accra calls on African leaders to change mindsets and culture of leadership. Calls on educational authorities to change existing curriculum of tertiary institutions to suit the world of work and industrial markets. Sudanese woman in apostasy controversy released from detention at Khartoum Airport. An EU leaders meeting in Brussels expected to confirm former Luxembourg PM Jean-Claude Juncker as new president of European Commission. But first, we'll take the summary with Nadia Bliago.
President Mahama has parked the Black Stars on the park for the exhibition of teamwork, though they have been eliminated from the tournament. Addressing the presidential press corps after watching the Black Stars encounter with their Portuguese counterpart in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, President Mahama called for the immediate rebuilding of the team to make it better, adding that football goes beyond hard work but also pure luck. The 23rd Ordinary Section of the African Union has opened in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, with Africa being called upon to work towards the removal of trade barriers within the continent. Meanwhile, President Mahama, who is at the summit, has been elected the chair of the High-Level African Trade Committee. The committee is to promote trade in the continent by providing the AU with policy orientation and recommendations on deepening Africa's market integration agenda. The Metropolitan Archbishop of Accra, Gabriel Palmabaco, has called on African leaders to change their mindset and culture of leadership to ensure progressive development. He said the youth have greater influence in every society since they form 65% of the population and are able to change their situation now if they allow themselves to be agents of change. The Archbishop was speaking at the 65th anniversary of the International Catholic Students in Accra. Educational authorities have been asked to take measures that will ensure a change in the current curriculum of tertiary institutions in order for graduates to fit into the world of work. A member of the Association of Ghana Industries, Dr. Dominic Quenu, told Radio Ghana that this is one of the surest ways to reduce graduate unemployment. A Sudanese woman, Miriam Ibrahim, who was recently freed from a death sentence for renouncing the Islamic faith, has been freed from detention in the Khartoum airport after being accused of attempting to travel with forged official documents. Miriam's lawyer, Mohammed Mustafa, said Mrs. Ibrahim is currently in the U.S. embassy with her family. And EU leaders meeting in Brussels are expected to confirm former Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker as the next president of the European Commission. UK Prime Minister David Cameron believes Juncker is too much in favour of closer political union and might block EU reform. German Chancellor Angela Merkel had given David Cameron hope after agreeing to vote on the issue if there is consensus, but the leaders of Netherlands and Sweden disagree.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. President John Mahama has congratulated the Black Stars for the display of teamwork and for their efforts, even though they have been eliminated, speaking with the presidential press corps after watching the Black Stars encounter with their Portuguese counterparts in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. President Mahama noted that there must be rebuilding of the team immediately to see how best they can be made better. He said, though football goes with hard work and discipline, it also involves sheer luck.
See what, you know, we could have done better and fix it. And I'm sure that even though we didn't win this World Cup, there'll be other World Cups for Ghana, and I'm certain and I believe, and the nation should stand behind our stars and believe that we are the stars who played the most exciting match in the World Cup against Germany, and that we could have gone on, but unfortunately we didn't, and that in future we'll be able to make it better. I think when we come back, we must look at the team again. Often we get to a junction where you have a new breed of players coming up and you have senior players and you try to weld them together. Sometimes the welding leads to very great success, but sometimes it leads to a few problems. And so we need to look at the team as a whole. And I guess when the FA comes, we need to set up a kind of committee to look at the full system of what happened in Brazil 2014, right from the preparation through the build-up to the World Cup, to when they went to Brazil, to what happened in Brazil, until they come back. We need to do a full post-mortem, and based on that post-mortem, we would be led to make some corrections of things that went wrong and rebuild the team so that Ghana continues to command the respect that it does in world football.
President John Mahama speaking on the Black Stars' defeat at the World Cup after watching the match between Ghana and Portugal at Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. The 23rd Ordinary Summit of the African Union has opened in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, with a call on the continent to remain resolute in pushing the African agenda and not to bow to foreign dictates. Speaker after speaker condemned the crisis in Nigeria while commending peace efforts in Mali, Guinea-Bissau and Egypt. Ghana's President John Dramani Mahama is among the about 44 heads of state present. Pascal Nyadarivo has sent this report.
The 23rd Ordinary Summit of the AU opened under the theme Agriculture and Food Security. This topic has become crucial considering the fact that 70% of the world's uncultivated arable land is in Africa, yet the continent cannot derive wealth from it. The heads of state will dialogue on what can be done to modernize and mechanize agriculture to make it attractive to the youth and make countries self-sufficient in terms of food production. President of the AU Commission, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, noted that Africa must address skills development issues so as to enable member states to train bioscientists, mechanics and other skills necessary for the agro-industry to thrive. She makes a special case for women farmers.
We must make agriculture and agro-processing attractive to the younger generation because our green revolution needs their innovation and energy. Africa today does not train enough bioscientists, agronomists, engineers, and so we need to do more in that human resource development and of course other critical skills required for the modernization of agriculture. That we must get our banks to lend at least 30% of their agricultural lending to women. We think this is a progressive goal. We must support this and engage with our financial institutions across the continent to achieve it.
Constant President of Equatorial Guinea, Teodoro Obiang Ingweso Imbasogo, said Africa's development cannot be touted without agriculture development. He said it is sad that the many rich natural resources have not been harnessed fully to the benefit of citizens. President Imbasogo said it is about time the African continent takes control of its development and not succumb to the monopoly of the world market, World Bank and IMF policies, which most often than not do not favor the continent and its citizens.
We have to realize the era of the colonial powers, the monopolies of the powers is history, and that the world should be governed by the new concept of equality, justice, transparency, democracy, human rights. It is high time to reconsider the monopoly of the world economy and the fallacious mantle of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund since their existence. They have never offered any help or any frank assistance to the African countries. We should revise rules of international trade, which are establishing preferences in favor of some to the detriment of others.
The special guest to the summit, President of Spain, Mariano Rajoy Bray, and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, both lauded the phenomenal growth of the continent and pledged to play a part in the African Renaissance. The summit commended and welcomed back into their fold the presidents of Egypt, Mali and Guinea-Bissau. The three countries have suffered civil and political unrest and have successfully returned onto the path of democracy by electing new leaders.
That report was sent by Pascaline Adadivo from Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. Meanwhile, President John Dramani Mahama has been elected as chair of the High-Level African Trade Committee on the sidelines of the 23rd Ordinary Session of the African Union in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. President Mahama therefore takes over from President of Chad, Idris Deby. The committee was established in 2012 in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to promote intra-African trade by pushing for the removal of trade barriers ahead of a 2017 deadline of creating a continental free trade area. The committee is also expected to provide the AU summit with policy orientation and recommendations on deepening Africa's market integration agenda. African trade ministers are expected to convene an extraordinary meeting to prepare for the launch of the Continental Free Trade Area next year. The Metropolitan Archbishop of Accra, Gabriel Palmer Bacal, has called for change of mind and culture of leaders in Africa. He said Africa, and for that matter Ghana, can compete with its foreign counterparts if leaders stand for change, service and perseverance. Speaking at the 65th anniversary of the International Catholic Students in Accra, Archbishop Palmer Bacal said the youth have greater influence in every society since they make up 65% of the population and are capable of changing the status quo if they allow themselves to be agents of change.
Africa needs change of leadership. Ghana needs change of leadership. Our leadership culture is gone wrong. People don't become leaders to serve. They become leaders for power, for possession, and for pleasure. So we need a new leadership culture. A leadership culture of service. A leadership culture that is ready for change. And a leadership culture that is ready to dwell on what you have as your gift. Don't cry over the past. You are the one that should give us a future. And you have so much to give. And you should be the ones to be able to help change the world, change Africa in particular. Start by changing your own way of thinking.
The president of the International Movement of Catholic Students, James Opoku, said though the movement has been in existence for 65 years, there's still more to do, adding that the movement in this regard has been able to organize peace workshops and campaigns to foster the idea of peace in the youth to promote change.
Pax Romana, 65 years hasn't been easy for us, although problems come in here and there. We are always guided by that vision to make sure that peace always prevails, since we are guided by that principle. And we also have to make sure that the peace that we enjoy keeps on reigning. We organize something that we call peace campaign. We go to the various places, we talk to them, ask to the need for us to have peace. 65 years, we have a lot of things to do, and by the grace of God, we know we can carry all those tasks.
The president of the International Movement of Catholic Students, James Opoku. The week-long celebration dubbed Remain in Christ and Rejoice in Him Always brought together students from Nigeria, Kenya, and Togo. The need for African religious leaders to actively engage in decision-making and policy formulation for governance has been re-emphasized. The Executive Secretary of Caritas Africa, a charity organization of the Catholic Church, Jacques Dinan, said churches in Africa have a role in resolving the numerous social and economic challenges on the continent. Mr. Dinan said this during a presentation at the two-day development forum in Accra. Fred Yewu and Juliet Safo have filed this report.
The forum was the first of its kind by the Catholic Development Organizations in Ghana. It is aimed at enhancing capacities of development organizations and to share knowledge, experience and strength of the church and other faith-based organizations. The concept is expected to promote human development as part of the church's pastoral and evangelism mission. The executive secretary of the Caritas Africa, Jake Dinan, reiterated that the church's primary goal is to promote unconditional love of service, especially to the needy and marginalized in society. He urged religious leaders to be guided by a high sense of humility, respect, and professionalism when dealing with people within and outside their congregation. The Secretary General of the National Catholic Secretariat, Reverend Father Nicholas Ifeye, indicated that the Ghana Catholic Bishops' Conference is leading an agenda of encouraging various units of the Catholic Church to begin to hold policymakers accountable for the delivery of public good. He added that the Church will continue to play a key role in service delivery, support and facilitate every effort towards promoting public policy advocacy for development. The forum had representatives from Germany, USA, Benin, Mauritius, Zambia and Canada.
That was Freddie Abu and Julian Saffo's report. The news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. President Mahama congratulates Black Stars for display of dexterity despite elimination from World Cup tournament. 23rd Ordinary Summit of AU opens in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, with election of President Mahama as chair of African Trade Committee. Metropolitan Archbishop of Accra calls on African leaders to change mindset and culture of leadership. Calls on educational authorities to change existing curriculum of tertiary institutions to suit the world of work and industrial markets. Sudanese woman in apostasy controversy released from detention at Khartoum Airport. An EU leaders meeting in Brussels expected to confirm former Luxembourg PM Jean-Claude Juncker as next president of European Commission. Stay with us.
If we ensure implementing the Dunta money, Minister of Health announced that health services tra. Yari in fa egini wem no, yenti binka anampo yehu bi omemu. Akumri aso no sfe aman fose, anye bia, obi mu anase wasi yari in fa egini wem nka omemu bebi ana. Se obi nye yari egini wem anase in fanwa, so so fitia bi prefri hunemu, uhu obi onya sa yari bia, ma kumri gme fo, impenin fo, anase bitye be ono, ma oma something, no mwa chedi ya egena sikana ahe nu. Fe telefon, 0204-331-777
and answer 0207-797-733. And the news at 6 continues. A member of the Association of Ghana Industries, Dr. Dominic Quino, says it is time for government, educational authorities and other technocrats in the sector to take pragmatic steps to change the existing wrong fundamental curriculum of tertiary institutions to suit the world of work and industrial markets. Dr. Quino said unless the mindset of graduates are changed into problem-solving students, it would be difficult to create ready jobs for them when they complete school. Speaking in an interview with Radio Ghana, Dr. Quino noted that both public and private educational institutions should make practical and field studies part of the curriculum. He spoke to George Ankara.
We should look at the needs of the country because our graduates are supposed to be employed in this country. So we should look at the needs of the country. Train the students according to our needs. That's the first thing. And they should be allowed to do more practical training in our industries and our setups so that they will become abreast with what actually the reality of our situation is. And that will help them also have a better frame of mind. That's why they will improve upon whatever we have. So that's the first thing they should do. Then also we need to teach them to have better understanding of our situation, the reality that is how to solve the problems. They should be problem-oriented, solving students or graduates.
The UDS has started something like that. But when you come to the other premier universities in this country, it is still not happening. And some of the educationists who are involved in curriculum development, they realize that some of the lecturers are not teachers. Yes, they are there, and now they are even giving the students fundamental questions. How do we get over this?
It is important that most of the people teaching the university, at least the majority of them, should have an education background. The education background is to help them teach the students better and impart knowledge better. If they don't have education background, there are a lot of mistakes they will make without knowing they themselves that they are making mistakes. So the curriculum or whoever is in charge should make sure most of the graduates or most of the lecturers being employed in these universities have education background. It's extremely important.
Doc, when you look at our universities at the moment, the report that is coming out is that some of those who are doing administration and accounting okay, in Legon, I live in Legon, and I'm seeking admission at the University of Professional Studies, UPS.
It is so because in UPS, I believe they are doing practical courses that are relevant to our country, that are relevant to industry. In Legon or other, maybe they are doing academic systems, which is not of serious help for us. So Legon has to look critically at what IPS or UPS is doing, and we tailor what they are doing to suit our needs as a country, as industry.
Dr. Dominic Quino is a member of the Association of Ghana Industries. Stakeholders in the gas and energy sector are reminded of the need to ensure that all the necessary international best standards are designed and put into practice before investors come in to pollute the sector. In an interview with Radio Ghana, a technocrat, Dr. JDK Annan, said although meaningful strides have been made in the gas sector, more needs to be done in terms of standards. He spoke to George Angra.
For us, standards, they are inexhaustible. But then, since we are in the emerging state as an oil and gas producer, we are far, far, far short of even the baseline, you know, standards in terms of what we have adopted so far. Percentage-wise, probably, I wouldn't want to mention. So it shows that we need to have technical, intellectual, and administrative cohesion in these things.
What do you mean by that?
No, when you're going into a very new area like the oil and gas, number one, you have to look at the best practices. Learn from those who are the experts. Now, they have established internationally recognized standards. And that is where you start from. Now, because there'll be a lot of prospectors trying to come in, that is when we have to be very, very careful. So many people will come, there'll be a lot of charlatans. And let me emphasize again, a lot of charlatans, and that is where we have to be worried. Others who come and pass on their very bad practices to us in the guise of collaboration and whatnot. And when you don't take care, means that you're going to start on a very, very weak foundation.
What role are you playing in streamlining these standards so that we have a strong footing or background?
Yeah, unfortunately, my role is purely ad hoc in the sense that the National Technical Committee on Oil and Gas, which works under the auspices of the Ghana Standards Authority, cannot really work at the sort of pace I reckon would actually help in letting us weed out a lot of the bad nuts. Why do I say this? We started these ventures before we even started the work on the standards. Despite a lot of prudence, it looks like we are still well behind. But what I will advise is that even from the little that we've done, one can notice that certain mandatory design aspects regarding the design of the oil and gas system are lacking. So it's not too late, but I think once again, let's establish the technical, intellectual, and administrative cohesion that will be in the best interest of this country.
Scientist and technocrat Dr. JDK Annan in that interview with George Ankra. Stakeholders in the manufacturing, distribution, and registration of medicines are undergoing a 2-day workshop on the revised guidelines for registration of orthodox medicines in Accra. The acting deputy chief executive in charge of drug registration and inspectorate division of the Food and Drugs Authority, FDA, Seth Sianike, says the authority is to ensure that medicinal application and registration by players in the industry conforms with the FDA as well as international standards. He added that the revised guidelines will become effective for manufacturers and regulators to find it easy to trade their products on the local as well as international markets.
We are in an international community, and these processes are not cumbersome at all because they are more transparent. It's going to be reduced cost for them because they can file in Ghana, they can file in Nigeria, they can file in other countries. These are harmonized guidelines which the whole world has agreed on. So a manufacturer doesn't have to look for people, assemble them to prepare dossier for separate countries. Using this thing, you can use the thing in other countries. In West Africa, we are trying to harmonize our regulatory activities, and registration is one of the key ones. So those in the industry do not see it as cumbersome, but rather is it as a guideline that is more transparent, that bridges the gap between the understanding between the regulator and themselves. Within this guideline, there is a country-specific portion, because we acknowledge the fact that every country has their peculiarity, but that is also embedded within the guideline. So the peculiarity of Ghana is found in expression within the guideline. So that country-specific aspect is already catered for in the guideline. We have started implementing this already, in the sense that when our clients come to us, we encourage them, because even this one shortens the registration period, because if you fill this guideline and you fill it very well, it doesn't ask for more request for information, because everything is so detailed.
Mr. Sianike further warned that the authority will not succumb to manufacturers and pharmaceutical companies who flout the new and revised guidelines.
It is required by law that everybody should register his medicine. If you don't register and then you bring a counterfeit medicine, we have a special department that looks around the market looking for counterfeit medicine. And when you are caught, the law will deal with you appropriately. The advice I have for them is that counterfeit medicine kills. And therefore, let us refrain from trying to promote counterfeit medicine and try to register quality medicines, because the health of our population is very important. For the general public, it is very difficult for you to identify counterfeit medicine. But if you know any product that you use, any medicine that you use, and you think that there's a change in it, that's why you have to look for the fact that there's an expiry date on it. You have to look for the fact that there's a batch manufacturing date on it. Even if there's no manufacturing, there should be an expiry date. So these are the things that you look at. But even for a professional, it's a bit difficult to determine what is cancer. But if you are using any medicine, you think that maybe the color or anything has changed, then you can alert the regulatory authorities to investigate.
That was the acting deputy chief executive in charge of drug registration and inspectorate division of the Food and Drugs Authority, Seth Sianike. Members of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA, will resume full trading activities from today after closing their shops for 3 days. The traders decided to open their shops following an appeal to them by the Minister of Trade and Industry to rescind their decision at a forum with the national executives of GUTA and some traders in Accra. The traders insisted government must, as a matter of urgency, drive away foreigners in the retail business. Safiya reports.
The president of GUTA, George Ofori, said the national executives and members have resolved to reopen their shops from tomorrow based on the assurances by the Trade and Industry Minister, Haruna Idrisu, on efforts being made by government to address their concerns.
In negotiations, sometimes you don't have to have an entrenched position. It should be 50-50. So let me say that the minister have assured us to the government that it's going to make sure that these things are done. But we are assuring him that we are also watching it with an eagle eye. We are watching the decisions closely. If nothing comes out of it, we will come back. So on this note, let me say that once they are going to work on some of these decisions, I declare on behalf of my executive members that the shops should be open. We are now stopping our stance.
That was the GUTA president, George Ofori, ending the report by Seth Ayia. Now, on the foreign front, the Sudanese woman, Maryam Ibrahim, whose death sentence for marrying a Christian was overturned, has been released from jail again after she was detained at Khartoum Airport last Tuesday. Maryam Ibrahim's lawyer, Mohamed Mustafa, said Mrs. Ibrahim is currently in the U.S. Embassy with her family. She had been detained on charges of falsifying ID documents. She was first released on the 23rd of this month when an appeals court lifted her death sentence for renouncing Islam. European Union leaders meeting in Brussels are expected to confirm former Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker as the next president of the European Commission. The move comes despite strong opposition from Britain. UK Prime Minister David Cameron believes Mr. Juncker is too much in favor of closer political union and might block EU reform. And in football, the Black Stars have been sent packing after failing to secure a win in a match against Portugal yesterday. For the first time in FIFA tournament, the Black Stars failed to progress to the round of 16. The Stars camp had been plagued with several embarrassing scandals in the build-up to the match against Portugal, culminating in indefinite suspension of Suleiman Tari and Kelvin Prince-Boateng from the team.
These have affected players' morale, leading to their 2-1 defeat yesterday. Despite the Stars' failure to secure a place to the round of 16, Algeria for the first time has joined Nigeria as African representatives in knockout stage of the competition. Meanwhile, Brazil will clash with Chile on Saturday, whilst Colombia takes on Uruguay later that day. Uruguay will go into the game without their lead striker, Luis Suarez. The striker is unable to participate in any football-related activities for 4 months after being found guilty by FIFA Disciplinary Committee for biting Italian defender Giorgio Chiellini on Tuesday. The teams are all on recess today. And also in the news, the main point again. President Mahama has patted the Black Stars on the back for their exhibition of teamwork, though they have been eliminated from the tournament. The 23rd Ordinary Summit of the African Union has opened in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, with a call on African leaders to work towards the removal of trade barriers within the continent. The Metropolitan Archbishop of Accra, Gabriel Palmabaco, has called on African leaders to change their mindset and culture of leadership to ensure progressive development. A Sudanese woman, Miriam Ibrahim, who was recently freed from a death sentence for renouncing the Islamic faith, has been freed from detention at the Khartoum airport after being accused of attempting to travel with forged official documents. An EU leaders meeting in Brussels are expected to confirm former Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker as the next president of the European Commission. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra.